The author of Hebrews is not especially concerned at this point to teach the saints anything about observing one particular day of the week as a Sabbath rest. His burden is to convince Christians that we must persevere to the end by faith in Christ, so that at long last we might enter into the fullness of spiritual life in God's everlasting, glorious Sabbath day. So he says, strive to enter into that Sabbath rest of your God. The sermon title tonight from our passage, strive to enter God's Sabbath rest. And friends, we read now the holy and living word of God from Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7. This is God's word. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us, just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Word of God from Hebrews 3 and 4 tonight. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, the Sabbath is not, in the first place, a particular day of the week for the covenant people to keep holy by resting from our work and worshiping our God and Savior. No, if you recall Genesis 2, verse 3, words quoted in our passage, the Sabbath, is God's everlasting day of rest in glory. He finished his work of creation in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. And God blessed that day and made it holy, his holy Sabbath, a glorious day of his everlasting enthronement as the great king over all that he had made in creation. Really, that is the Sabbath, brothers and sisters. And any weekly Sabbath day observance for the people of God is meant to point them to that reality, to that transcendent Sabbath rest of the Lord God. And any weekly Sabbath observance is also meant to prepare us to enter into the fullness of God's Sabbath rest. Well, we must say at the same time, a weekly Sabbath observance also gives us a taste of that Sabbath rest which is ours by God's grace, for us to enjoy even now in this present evil age. Brings us to the theme tonight, friends. There are already and not yet dimensions of our enjoying God's Sabbath rest. There are already and not yet dimensions of our enjoying God's Sabbath rest. And he gives us a weekly Sabbath day observance to help us experience both. This language, already and not yet, calls for a little bit of explanation. I'm sure it's familiar to many of you. But our salvation is a reality through God's grace in Jesus. But that reality has already come to us in one sense, while in another sense, it is not yet complete. What you need to understand tonight is that our enjoyment of God's Sabbath rest is part of this kingdom salvation. And our enjoyment of Sabbath rest has already and not yet dimensions. This is nowhere made more obvious than Hebrews 3 and 4. A passage that does not, let me be very clear about this, our text does not explicitly have anything to say on the subject of whether or not Christians have a weekly Sabbath day observance, as Israel did in the Old Covenant. Nevertheless, it's a passage that will help direct your hearts to Christ, your Savior. It's a passage that will help us to understand precisely why we Christians in the New Covenant, well, yes, we have so much more of salvation that we are able to enjoy now in the New Covenant, nevertheless must still have a weekly Sabbath day observance. Let's first think on the already aspect of Sabbath rest with our God. My first point, believers already enjoy God's Sabbath rest through faith in Christ. All the warnings in our passage, all these exhortations in Hebrews 3 and 4 clearly indicate the not yet aspect of our participation in God's Sabbath rest. But you have to appreciate that the warning at bottom, the warning is that we Christians be careful not to fall away from the living God. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. So while our fellowship with God is not yet that glorious thing that it will be one day in the fullness of his kingdom, in the fullness of Sabbath rest, okay, we who trust in Christ already have fellowship with the living God. And so the warning is, be careful lest in unbelief you fall away from him. There's already fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Notice the already aspect of salvation that is already ours by faith in Christ in verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. For we, present tense, we share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence. So you already have the confidence. You have fellowship with Christ. You have salvation in this great Savior. But we're to hold fast that original confidence firm to the end. Not yet there at the end, but already we share in Christ. We participate in him. We have this confidence that kingdom salvation, which he won for sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, is now ours by faith. So you see glimpses of the already, don't you? They're rather clear, I think, there in verses 12 and 14. Does the author of Hebrews tell us that by faith we already have enjoyment of God's Sabbath rest? Well, I would argue he does. Notice in chapter 4 then, beginning of chapter 4, therefore while the promise of entering his rest still stands, there's the not yet, pretty clear, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, Israelites in the wilderness, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. And then here's the key verse. For we who have believed enter that rest. Present tense. We enter by faith in Christ. And look, any one of you believers in the house of God tonight knows this is true. Because through faith in your Savior, you actually experience spiritual rest. Just as Jesus promised we would. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. How many sinners for the past 2,000 years have heard those very words and being convicted of their sin before the face of a holy God, repent of that sin, call on the name of Jesus for salvation, and instantly relieved of the burden of their guilt and their sin. Forgiveness. Praise the Lord. That is Sabbath rest through faith in Jesus Christ. If any of you want that relief and redemption tonight, all you must do is forsake your sinful rebellion against God, confess your sins to Him, call on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And you will have rest for your souls. The spiritual rest of peace with God, who forgives our sins for the sake of Christ, His Son. When we go to Jesus Christ in true faith, we receive the salvation that He has obtained for sinners by His life, death, and resurrection. And we do indeed begin to enjoy God's Sabbath rest. And what I mean by that is we begin to enjoy true, intimate fellowship with God in peace, in loving communion through His grace alone. There is this already that we have through faith in Christ and by the gift of the Spirit and the new life that we have through that Holy Spirit dwelling in us. What communion with God, right? That He indwells us by His Spirit. The already of our salvation, the already of Sabbath rest indeed, but there is a not yet dimension to our enjoyment of God's Sabbath. And that is especially what Hebrews 3 and 4 shows us. Let's turn to this second point. I'm really going to focus on this in our remaining time tonight. Secondly, we do not yet enjoy the fullness of God's Sabbath. Not yet. And therefore must strive by faith to enter it. We do not yet enjoy the fullness of God's Sabbath, and therefore must strive by faith to enter it. This is the overwhelming message of Hebrews 3 and 4. We are to continually put faith in Christ, striving in that way to enter into God's Sabbath rest, which remains for the people of God. The comparison here is with the people in the Old Covenant. That wilderness generation, the original Exodus wilderness generation of Israel. The author of Hebrews is saying we are not to be like them. God graciously delivered them from Egypt. He did so many mighty deeds to preserve His people through all their travels and various troubles. But the Israelites continually grumbled against Moses. And you know how Moses puts it, you're not grumbling against me and my brother Aaron, you're grumbling against God. They were grumbling against the Lord their God, so that He was provoked in wrath to have them fall dead in the wilderness and take a new generation into the promised land. See, because of their unbelief, dear saints, that original Exodus wilderness generation was barred from entering into God's rest. The author of Hebrews is telling us Christians that we are another Exodus generation. You are, as the Church of Christ, another Exodus generation, traveling through this wilderness on your way to that everlasting resting place with God. And if we are to endure the many trials of this sinful world and finally enter into that Sabbath rest of God, we must not harden our hearts, but embrace Jesus Christ, our Savior, in faith. You say, well, I've already done that. No, you completely miss the whole point if you say, oh, well, I've already done that. Always living by faith in that Savior. That's the point. Persevering to the end by faith in that Savior. The author of Hebrews relies heavily upon Psalm 95. It begins as a call to worship, But halfway through the song, David turns it into a very serious warning for the people of Israel in his day. He tells the Israelites that they must not harden their hearts as their forefathers did it back in the wilderness, many hundreds of years earlier. Because at that time, in wrath, God cut off that generation of Israelites from his rest, his resting place in the promised land. Therefore, what you must understand is that in Psalm 95, David's point, or God's point, is that he'll do the same to any unbelieving Israelite who's already in the promised land. They too will be barred from entering into God's full and true Sabbath rest. Psalm 95 is so useful to the author of Hebrews because of its perpetually present power to warn the people of God with this word today. He tells the saints, as long as it is called today, be on guard against an evil, unbelieving heart, which can lead you, professing Christians in the church, to fall away from the living God. Exhort each other not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you really share in Christ, hold fast to him in faith until the end. Otherwise, like the Israelites in the desert, you also, through the hardness of your heart and unbelief, you also will be barred from entrance into God's rest. See, like the old Exodus generation in the desert, the church today is an Exodus community traveling through the wilderness of this world. Yes, indeed, dear brothers and sisters, through faith in Christ our Savior, we've already received salvation. It includes Sabbath rest for our souls, and how sweet it is. Thanks be to God. We taste that sweetness today. We've already been brought into fellowship with him through the blood of his son Jesus, but we are not yet in our glorious home with our God and Father, and therefore must persevere by faith until the end. The original Exodus generation failed to enter. The author of Hebrews calls the church of his day, listen, your God calls you his church today to succeed in entering into his Sabbath rest, not by your own strength, but by faith in Christ your Savior. The language of disobedience, it's all over our passage. But in chapter 4, the author makes it clear that he's not talking about just disobedience in general by any number of sins. He's not thinking about sins in general disqualifying us from God's rest. We'd be in a lot of trouble if just any kind of sin disqualifies us. We sin every day. But the author of Hebrews is really talking about that particular sin of unbelief toward Christ. That's what will cause us to forfeit kingdom salvation. The Hebrews to whom this letter was written were professing Christians who were tempted to return to Israel's more tangible, visible temple religion. But whether or not these were Jewish or Gentile Christians, they're called Hebrews because they're tempted to go back to the old Hebrew temple religion and the Levitical priesthood and so on. The author is really warning them that this would be apostasy, a damnable forsaking of Christ. So he calls the saints to mix faith with their hearing of the gospel. For we who have believed on Christ enter that rest. If we have truly embraced Christ by faith, we already possess rest of soul, the forgiveness of sins, intimate fellowship with God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if we want to enter into the fullness of God's Sabbath rest, we must continue to embrace our Savior by faith. In chapter 4, at this point, the author explains how we are to understand God's rest from Psalm 95. David never mentions Sabbath in that psalm, but he mentions God's resting place, the promised land, which God did not allow the wilderness generation to enter. Then the author of Hebrews goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, the seventh day on which God, having finished his work of creation, he was done, he rested, and he made that day his Sabbath day, his Sabbath day. The connection of these two passages Genesis 2 and Psalm 95 is that they both speak of God's rest, right? Psalm 95 speaking of his physical resting place in the promised land. Genesis 2 speaking of God's time of rest on the seventh day. The author of Hebrews, in connecting those two passages, Psalm 95 and Genesis 2, he is showing us God's Sabbath rest has temporal as well as spatial aspects. Temporal as well as spatial quality. It is his everlasting dwelling in glory, which is intended also for his people. God entered his Sabbath rest on the seventh day when he finished all his work of creation. From that point on, the question was, okay, God's now in his Sabbath rest. Would man finish his work and enter into God's rest as man was meant to do? Adam failed. The author of Hebrews explains that Israel's Exodus generation also failed because of unbelief. But entering into the promised land, which the people of Israel later did, clearly was not the full reality of God's Sabbath rest. For in Psalm 95, so long after Joshua brought the people into the promised land, the Lord warned his people in his place of rest that if they harden their hearts, they also will be barred from entering into God's rest. So the Sabbath day isn't a weekly seventh-day observance that Israel had temporally, and it was not a physical place called, you know, the land of Canaan in the Middle East. The book of Hebrews applies that warning also to us, for there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Chapter 4, verse 9. It is God's everlasting dwelling place in glory, which is intended for you, the people of God. This passage has nothing to do with our working our way into God's rest as if it depended on our obedience, meriting, the fullness of salvation. I think that would be completely the wrong way to take this passage. We do not enter into that rest in any way, shape, or form by our own righteousness, but only through that of Christ. Our greater Joshua, his name is Yeshua, right? He's that greater Yeshua who brings his people into the true promised land, the rest of God. He's that second Adam who did all the work God the Father gave him to do. Jesus has joined God the Father on his throne for everlasting Sabbath rest and glory. But because he did all that work of redemption to earn Sabbath rest for us sinners who trust in him, yes, you who believe on Christ, enter into that Sabbath rest by faith in that only Savior. Dear brothers and sisters, we only enter by faith in him, because of the works he's done. But we are still people who must work in this world, and we will fully enjoy God's Sabbath rest only when we are finally done with all of our working, just as God finished his work and entered his rest. Christians, therefore, must strive to enter that rest so that one day we will have it fully realized. And perseverance, friends, such a strong exhortation to persevere here by faith, that we may not fall by the same sort of disobedience that kept the Exodus generation out. It's a call to perseverance, and God has always supplied his covenant people with means of grace by which he strengthens us to persevere. He doesn't just call us to persevere, right? He gives us means of grace by which he preserves us and equips us to persevere by faith. Among other things, he gave Israel the weekly seventh-day Sabbath observance. It was obviously not the full reality of God's Sabbath rest, but both before their entrance into the promised land and after that entrance into that place of rest with God, Israel had a particular day each week on which God would not only point them forward to the fullness of his rest, his Sabbath rest, but also give the Israelites a taste of it, in order to preserve them until they reach the full glory of their everlasting dwelling with God. This is not the particular application in chapters 3 and 4. I realize that. Our passage, again, is explicitly calling Christians to abide in Christ by faith until we finally enter the fullness of our spiritual rest. Nevertheless, friends, listen. It follows from our passage that the church today is an Exodus wilderness people like Israel of old, and that if we are going to persevere to the end by faith in Christ, we still need a weekly Sabbath day of rest and worship, by which our God will prepare us for that fullness of his Sabbath rest and preserve us for entrance into the fullness of his Sabbath rest. So our third and last point tonight, our weekly Sabbath day observance points us to the fullness of God's rest, but also gives us a taste of what is already ours. Our weekly Sabbath day observance points us to the fullness of God's rest, but also gives us a taste of what is already ours. This point is not made in chapters 3 and 4, but it is definitely not absent from the book of Hebrews. Please turn with me to chapter 10 in conclusion, and let's read a bit more about the already and not yet of salvation, and the already not yet of our Sabbath rest with God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, there's quite a lot of overlap here. I trust you'll see it. Overlap between this text and chapter 10, what we read earlier from chapters 3 and 4. Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The author of Hebrews reminds the saints that through the body and blood of Christ, we have bold access into the holiest dwelling of our God, spatial Sabbath rest. We may worship God in truth through faith in our Savior, our High Priest, Jesus. And this is indeed the already of Sabbath rest. But again, here's an exhortation to keep doing so. Keep going to God through Christ. Keep calling on your faithful promise-keeping God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, your mediator, your high priest. Because salvation and Sabbath rest are not yet fully in our possession. So let us continue to draw near to God only through Christ Jesus. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope, knowing that he who promised is faithful. Dear saints, God is faithful to fulfill his promise to bring us by his grace in Christ into the fullness of kingdom salvation, into the fullness of his Sabbath rest. Since we are not yet there, God gives us the Lord's Day each week for rest and worship. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't read Lord's Day here. Sure you do. Not explicitly, I have to keep saying that, because right, we have to compare Scripture with Scripture and bring it together. But in verse 25, he calls us not to neglect meeting together. The habit of some, but he says, we're to meet. And when does the church meet? Well, the Lord's Day. That day of resurrection, the first day of the week, the Sabbath of Israel, having come to an end through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he gives us a new day of rest at the beginning of the week. And all of our work will be done on the basis of it. In the joy of our salvation, giving thanks to our God who has won everlasting Sabbath rest for us through the work, the obedience, the sacrificial death of his Son, Jesus Christ. But again, friends, not yet in the fullness. God gives us the Lord's Day each week for rest and worship so that his word would expose our sins and cause us more and more to know our weakness and our inability, but so that his word in the power of his Spirit would also equip us to press on by faith in Jesus. As we receive that word, the means of grace on the Lord's Day, gathered together to be fed with Christ, our great Savior who will preserve us till the very end. We are to gather, not neglect to meet together on the Lord's Day, our day of rest and worship, so that God's word would not only convict us of sin and equip us to press on by faith in Christ, but it would also equip us to do this work of love, the peculiar work given to you on the Lord's day. This is the peculiar work given to you to do, to worship your God. It takes some effort. It takes some striving to hold fast to Him, but to hold fast to one another, right? And to give this encouragement to one another. You are all to be equipped with that word. So what does it say in verse 25? Not neglecting to meet together. You come together on the Lord's day for worship, yes, but to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day is that? It's the Lord's ultimate day. Not a day in our week, but His everlasting Sabbath rest. His Sabbath day. Our Sabbath day through Christ Jesus, His Son. The author calls the saints to hold fast to Christ, but also to make sure that we do not neglect to meet with one another for worship on this, the Lord's day. Because, friends, this is when our God points us forward to Sabbath fullness, but also when He gives us a taste, a real taste, of His Sabbath rest, which is ours in Christ Jesus. It is the day when God also equips us to do the work of love, so that we even help each other to press on unto His glorious day, the fullness of His and ours, our everlasting Sabbath rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.